Welcome to the Baptist NZ Podcast Network. This is Biblical Insights, the Gospel and the Land of the Bible.
Hi, I'm Lauren Domigan.
And hello, I'm Philip Church.
Really cool to be here with you, Phil. Could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
So I've worked for, I was trained as an accountant a long time ago. And then I became a biblical studies teacher at Ladle College. I did that for 15 years. And then since then, I've been sitting at home writing and thinking about all sorts of interesting things.
And what made you become a biblical scholar?
Well, I was interested in that all my life. I left school in what is now year 12 because my parents were in the exclusive brethren. I wasn't allowed to go to university. And so I left school and my mother said, why don't you be an accountant? You can never go wrong being an accountant. So I started being an accountant, and soon after that I thought, I was also quite good at languages, so I thought maybe I'll try and teach myself Greek. I tried several times to teach myself Greek and could not do it. Until maybe when I was 22, 23, I found someone who had evening Greek classes. And so I went and learned some Greek, and that really got me started, interested in theology. And I've done a few theology qualifications.
Wow.
I
understand that your specialty is the book of Hebrews.
Yeah, the book of Hebrews is what I'm really interested in. I might come back to that a little later and tell you why I'm interested in the book of Hebrews.
Sure.
But that's the book that I'm really interested in.
It's not a long book, is it?
13 chapters.
You would know.
Yeah, most of the chapters are short.
Yes.
I think the longest chapter is chapter 11 with 40 verses. Some of them are really short, less than 20.
Do you reckon you could memorise it?
And I couldn't memorise it.
But most of it?
I know when most, you give me a verse, I'll tell you the chapter.
Okay, I couldn't tell you a verse.
you quote a verse and I'll tell you what that chapter and verse it is.
All right, maybe for next time.
Yeah, maybe for next time. Yeah.
And what do you want to cover in the series, given your background what you know about, and you're a bit of an expert in your own field?
So what we want to talk about is, I think we need to begin by giving about 4,000 years of history. We talk about the history of that piece of land, the land of the Bible. I want to talk about some geography and different parts of it. Then I want to do some definitions. It's really important to define what Israel is, what an Israeli is, what an Israelite is, and often we confuse those things. I want to look at Old Testament perspectives on the land. There is a vibrant Palestinian Christian community that we don't often hear about, and I want to give a brief introduction to a Palestinian Christian theology of the land. I really want to talk about what I call Restorationism and Zionism, and maybe that's almost the center of this series of podcasts. Restorationism and Zionism are really important things, really important to distinguish between the two of them, but they are really significant. And then as we get closer to the end of the series, I want to look at the Bible, to the Old Testament and the New Testament, and bring it to a conclusion and ask the question what we ought to be doing in the light of all that.
Wow. So that's quite a lot to cover. So we'll definitely be breaking this down into a few episodes for everyone at home to follow along with.
Yeah.
Maybe listen back again if it seems quite complicated.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll just be able to ask you questions as we go, because this stuff's new to me. I don't have a biblical background or academic level of knowledge, but I'm interested. So I feel like, I mean, as long as the people listening, if they're interested, that's the best frame of mind to be coming into this, right?
Right.
Yeah. We just want to know more about it.
So I want to tell you how I got into it.
Please. So, that would be really great.
Yeah. So I told you my mother told me to be an accountant.
Yes.
So I did. And then skip forward about 20 years, and an old friend of mine named Bill Osborne, who died last year, as it happens, but he said to me one day, would you be interested in being involved in a mission to the Middle East, Middle East Christian outreach? And I thought, well, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
So I got involved with Middle East Christian outreach in New Zealand, and soon after I became the accountant for Middle East Christian outreach.
It's good you could use your accounting skills, you know.
Nothing ever happens by chance, you know.
No.
Yeah. So my mother said to be an accountant, you can't go wrong, and there you are. I did accounting for Middle East Christian Outreach in New Zealand. And then I got really interested, and I thought it's time I went to the Middle East And the international organization wanted someone to review some of their accounts. So I guess who got the job? So Dorothy and I, in 1996, went traveling around. We went to Cyprus, where the international office is. We went to Egypt, went to Lebanon, to Syria, to Jordan, and looked at, reviewed the accounting that was done. And then we took a two-week holiday in Israel.
Wow.
And at that time, I was totally ignorant of all the stuff we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
I had no idea. And we arrived at Jerusalem, and it happened to be Feast of Tabernacles time. And I kept running into people in Jerusalem asking me if I'd come up for the feast.
Yeah, because I was wondering what the Feast of Tabernacles was.
So Feast of Tabernacles is an annual Jewish festival that happens in September, October each year. And what you do, you eat your food in an outside shelter.
Right, like they would have in the desert.
Yeah.
Right,
it's
okay.
To remember their life in the desert. So we arrived. The first night we were there, we stayed in the King David Hotel.
Okay.
Which is quite a flash hotel, I think, if I remember. It's a long time ago now.
You were on holiday. You deserve it.
We were here. But we ate our food in an outside temporary shelter. And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. Why is that? And then discovered it was Feast of Tabernacles. And we kept encountering Orthodox Jewish men walking around Jerusalem with like a bit of flax in one hand, a reed in one hand, a lemon in the other. To this day, I have no idea why, but that's what they were doing. Anyway, we went north to Galilee for a little while, and then we came back to Jerusalem, and we stayed for a few days in the guest house at Christ Church Jerusalem, and discovered that Christ Church Jerusalem is the oldest Anglican church in the Middle East.
How old?
Built, established in 1849.
Okay.
And if people want to Google Christ Church Jerusalem and look at the Wikipedia site, there's some amazing photographs of this oldest church in the Middle East. Some photographs from the 1870s, 1862, I think is the earliest one.
So that's quite an old church
And what's really interesting is, though, this church was established in 1849 and established by the London Society for Promoting Christianity Among the Jews, otherwise known as the London Jews Society. It still exists, and it's now called the Church's Ministry Among Jewish People.
Interesting.
So it's still there. It was formed in 1809, so it's been going for over 200 years.
Yeah, this is an old organization.
Over 200 years. In the middle of the 19th century, British evangelicals were really interested in the Jewish people. And there were probably 25,000 Jews practicing their religion in England alongside the state religion of England.
And that's practicing Judaism.
Practicing Judaism, yeah.
Right, I see.
So, got to be careful. Judaism's a religion.
Yeah.
Being Jewish is ethnic, and it's a bit complicated.
Okay, yeah.
But these were Jews practicing their religion. They formed this London Jew Society with the specific purpose of evangelizing these 25,000 Jews. Something else that was central to British evangelicals in the 19th century was what I call Restorationism.
Okay, and we're going to Restorationism.
Restorationism.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that a bit later on in another episode. But that's the belief, probably growing from Romans chapter 11, that there would be a mass conversion of Jews in the last days.
I think I've heard of this.
Yeah. So there's going to be a mass conversion of Jews in the last days, and that would be accompanied by their restoration, hence Restorationism, to their land.
Right.
So they believed that they were in the last days, that many Jews were going to convert and become Christians, and they would be returned and restored to their land. And so the London Jew Society formed for this end, established this church as a place for these Jews to worship when they returned to their land.
So if I'm understanding, so they know that in the last days from the Bible that there will be many Jews who will become Christians. Yeah. So let's give them a church in Israel.
In their land,
In Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem,
So they're trying to solve that problem ahead of time.
Yeah. Give them a place to worship.
So that when the last days come, they've already got a church.
Yeah.
They're planning.
Planning.
Yeah,
great planning.
I understand. Yeah.
So, but what's really interesting about this church, inside it resembles a synagogue. And so, if you look on the internet, you can see a picture, and it has a menorah, which is a Jewish seven-branch candlestick that stood on the temple, and they've got one of those sitting on above the holy altar.
Like a hybrid.
A hybrid,
They got both.
Yeah, they got both. And more interesting, well, they've got the altar, and in Hebrew, it says in front of it, this do in remembrance of me. They got a picture in front of the altar that says Emmanuel in Hebrew. And what's really interesting is, though, like all Jerusalem synagogues, it's oriented in the direction of the Temple Mount.
Right, because the temple's real special.
The temple was really special, and they felt the temple was special. So they built this church oriented in the direction of the Temple Mount.
Mm.
Now, I only found this out later.
Yeah.
But at the time, I didn't really think about it. But if I was to build a church in Jerusalem, I wonder whether I'd want to orient it in the direction of Golgotha.
Right, because that has more significance to us than the temple.
Where Jesus died and from where Jesus rose again.
Ah, I see.
If I was a Christian, I think Golgotha and the cross is more important than the Temple Mount.
Mm. I would say that, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. But it didn't seem to make sense to them.
No.
So they, like all Jerusalem synagogues, it was oriented towards the Temple Mount.
Right.
Then, on the Sunday, we went to church in Christ's Church, Jerusalem. The guest house is just next door, around there. And we went to church, and the preacher was a New Zealander, a fellow called Murray Dixon, who was at the time the rector of the Christ Church, Jerusalem. In the Anglican system, a rector, I think, is some sort of a priest that has administrative responsibilities. Anyway, on the Sunday, his text was Zechariah 14, verses 16 to 19. And people listening might want to stop and look at that text, but it does say that all the survivors of the battle against Jerusalem will come up to Jerusalem annually and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right. That's why they're celebrating.
That's why they're celebrating. Yeah. So when they say come up to Jerusalem, Jerusalem's up the hill. It's not up north, but up the hill. So they all come up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And Murray Dixon said in his sermon that all Christians in the world ought to be coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles.
Like a pilgrimage.
Like a pilgrimage, annually.
Right.
And that's the reason why all these people are asking me in the street, have you come up for the feast?
Ah, they think you're making pilgrimage.
I was making my pilgrimage, like they were.
Like they believe they should be.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's an organisation we'll talk about later too, called the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem.
Okay.
It's an American organisation. When all the countries moved the embassies to Tel Aviv, they felt that embassies should be in Jerusalem, so they founded an international Christian embassy. They put it in a house that was formerly owned by a Jewish philosopher called Martin Buber. And before Martin Buber owned it, a Palestinian family owned it, but they had been booted out. And so they are in this house in Jerusalem as the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem. And what they do is they arrange pilgrimages to the Feast of Tabernacles annually in Jerusalem.
Right. So it's just a coincidence that you were there that weekend and everyone assumed you were making the pilgrimage as written.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Coincidentally, I was there.
But also, I think amongst Christians that I know, the Feast of Tabernacle and pilgrimage to Jerusalem is not a known thing.
No.
Like you didn't know about it.
I didn't know about it. But if you Google ICEJ, you can find where you can sign up for a visit to Jerusalem for your pilgrimage.
Right.
And they still happen.
Okay.
And they still happen. So Murray Dixon said all the Christians should be coming to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. As I mentioned earlier, I was totally ignorant of all the stuff we're going to talk about in this series. But I started scratching my head. I thought the book of Hebrews said that all those Jewish festivals have been abolished.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 10.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if they've all been abolished, why should the Christians be coming to celebrate them?
Because, that would imply that Christians would be going along with these Hebrew traditions.
And that history might be going backwards again.
Yeah, like we'll have to, I mean, what else are we supposed to be doing if we're supposed to be making those pilgrimages? What else have we signed up for on accident?
Are we supposed to be rebuilding the temple and offering those sacrifices again? So I began scratching my head.
Yeah, I would,
And ultimately, my head scratching ultimately ended up in a PhD on the temple in the book of Hebrews.
Okay.
That's why I'm interested in Hebrews.
And this is why we have you on. Okay. Well, this makes sense then. Well, I think that this really gives us a foundation and a bit of background as to who you are and why you're qualified to be even be something. Why should we listen to you? Why should we hear what Philip Church has to say about this? Yeah. But also your background of why you're interested in it, and also how you've come, you've learnt, because you didn't know about it once upon a time, and now you do. So, I mean, that's most of us, right? Yeah.
Well, as I mentioned, I grew up in the Exclusive Brethren. Did I say that? Yes,
yes, you did. Yeah.
And Exclusive Brethrenism is where the foundations of what we'll discover is called dispensational theology.
Mm.
It comes from the Exclusive Brethren, and I was steeped in all that stuff.
Yeah, so you've got a lot of background. You've got that growing up in it. You've got the church background. You're an accountant, so we can trust you to be thorough.
Well, hopefully.
Surely. Yes.
Hopefully.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Before we go to the next episode, before we finish this one, I want to come to what was probably the most foundational text on this topic. So foundationally, we need to think about Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. And because it's so foundational, I want to read it, although I'm leaving a few gaps to make it a little shorter. So it begins, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, and he said to him, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent, and with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages towards the Negev, which is the southern end of the country." What I want to highlight, and what I want people to keep in our minds as we go through, is that what I call the three legs of the promise to Abraham. God says, I will make of you a great nation. Promise to Abraham is repeated several times in Genesis. And I will make of you a great nation sometimes says you will have numerous descendants. Descendants, like the sand on the seashore or the stars of heaven. Now, I don't know if you've gone to the beach and picked up a handful of sand.
Lots of grains of sand.
And watched the sand fall out of your hand.
Yeah.
And try to count them.
No, it's not a thing.
And then look down the beach to see how many there are.
Numerous.
Yeah. You have descendants like the sand on the seashore. First leg, a great nation, many descendants. Second, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. God promised through Abraham all the families of the earth would be blessed. And that's really important too. God didn't pick Abraham for his own sake, but for all the families of the earth. And the third promise, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. God promised Abraham land, descendants, and blessing to the nations. Mm. And those three things we need to keep in our minds as we work through this series.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. So yeah, definitely something to be bearing in mind as we go forth into the series. Well, thank you for the introduction. I'm looking forward to our next episodes when we really dive into the content.
Should we give just a hint on the next session?
Yes, what can we look forward to
in the next session? We can look forward to what I've called a potted history of 4,000 years.
Okay.
We'll go pretty quickly at the beginning, but in the end I want to go slow. When we get to the 20th century, we will slow right down and right up to the current situation and, of course, the horrendous events that happened in Gaza on the 23rd of October, 2023, which was really the impetus for doing something like this.
It was heavy stuff,
Yeah, it is. So that's what we can look forward to next time.
So, yeah, next time. So,
thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to Biblical Insights, the Gospel and the Land of the Bible. We hope you gained a deeper understanding of God's Word today. If you have questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at biblicalinsightspodcast@gmail.com. A huge thank you to our amazing producer Mike Crudge and our talented audio editor Karis Fotheringham, and thank you to the Baptist NZ Podcast Network for supporting us. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to review and rate us on your favourite podcast platform. Your 5-star rating and thoughtful reviews help us reach more people with biblical insights. Join us next time on Biblical Insights, the Gospel and the Land of the Bible, as we continue to explore the Bible and its relevance to our everyday lives.